I'm Chris.
I'm Neil.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer, and we're the hosts of the Starling Tribune Podcast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready,
because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me today is my co-host, Stargate Pioneer. What's going on, SP?
Absolutely everything is going on. It's Friday night. We're podcasting on Better Podcasting. It's just exciting. This is what we do for fun, folks, which I guess is maybe a little sad. But for us, it doesn't matter. We like it. We love it. And if you're listening to this, we know you do too.
I wonder if that old TGIF theme song is still copyrighted so long ago. We could turn it into the Better Podcasting theme song. It's Friday night and the mics are light. I don't know. I got nothing. Terrible. Gonna have some fun. No, I'm not going to continue. I won't.
I seem to think that one of us might or might not have a brother, which is great at improv music.
That's true. I'll send him the idea, we'll see whether or not he can make that happen. But before we do get started here, I just want to go ahead and say good job, SP. Good job, because you know what happened this week? You had yourself an appearance on another podcasting podcast. Why don't you tell the listener what that was all about?
Yeah, it was. It was really exciting. It's not a podcast that's dedicated to the hobby podcast, but it's got a lot of professional podcasters on it. It's not a how-to podcast either. It's literally a roundtable, just like you would see on Meet the Press or NPR or whatever. It's called the Podcasters Roundtable, and it's done by Ray Ortega, also known as @PodcastHelper. And we had an exciting hour of talking about the fundamental item of podcasting, RSS feeds.
Oh, so it's not knowing Stargate Pioneer? I thought that was the number one thing that you have to do to podcast.
Yeah, that seemed to be a topic of discussion as well. They all were very interested in the Stargate Pioneer at the start. Yeah, and I seem to have made an impression, because apparently they want me back at some point in time.
It's just like how you invite your in-laws back for Christmas and then cross your fingers. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll see if it happens again. We'll see if it is like, we'll see if I'm, what's Griswold's brother or cousin or whatever, what is his name, the guy with the RV that showed up?
Uncle Eddie.
We'll see if I'm Uncle Eddie or not.
Well, congratulations on that, SP. I think it was very nice that they did invite you in, and I just want to say you did a very, very good job. So great job on that there, SP.
Thanks. And if you guys want to catch a listen to it, it is the Podcasters Roundtable number 62. It's been going on for a couple of years. Ray generally does it about every other week. And it is both video, so you can catch it on YouTube, and it comes out as a podcast later.
And if you do like podcasts, which presumably you do because you're listening to this show here, you are in luck, because we are part of what is called the Gunna Geek Network, and there is a variety of geeky content available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, including the latest episode of the official GunnaGeek.com podcast. Here's a hint, you might hear a couple familiar voices. And in this episode, episode 123, Steven, wonder who that is, starts off the news with a final cut of the Star Wars length. And there is all sorts of discussions about possibly hacked companies which don't admit that they're hacked. Might be a guy named SP that brings that up. And there may even be a fellow named Chris who talks about the return of the beloved Ecto Cooler. So check this out, as well as a review by JS on the Nexus 6P on episode 123 of the Gonna Geek podcast at GonnaGeekNetwork.com. All right. As you may remember, in episode 6, we wrapped up our podcasting arc on the foundation or fundamentals of podcasting. And guess what? That means that now we are entering a new arc. We are beginning a 3-part series on our gear. So we talked and teased all about it over the last 6 episodes. So we thought, let's just break it down and lay it all out here on what we've got. And we will caution you that absolutely we have a lot of advanced gear that you do not need for a hobby podcaster. But maybe you do want to go ahead and kick it up a little bit, and you are willing to take the challenges that sometimes come with that. We are here to share with you what we've got. We're going to break it out into a couple different things. Today's episode, I will talk a little bit about my gear. And SP is luckily very, very familiar with it, so he'll chime in along the way. Next week, SP will do the same, but I will chime in because I'm also familiar with his gear. And then the third week, we have a very festive, festive episode that you will have to wait for. So let's just start it off here. You're looking at me right now on YouTube, or maybe you're not. Maybe you're listening to me through your iPod or your phone or whatever it is. Well, how are you doing that? You are listening through headphones or earbuds, something like that. As I podcast, I also use headphones. And the headphones that I use are some closed-back headphones that are supposed to be fairly flat frequency response. They are called Shure SRH440 headphones. Now, you're going to say to me, Steven, what does that mean? Well, here's the thing, is there are different tiers of headphones, and as we mentioned last week in the download, there are different sort of side or genres of headphones of where they best are used. The headphones that I have are ones that are meant for what I'm doing now, editing, for monitoring and playing things back, that in a manner that isn't really manipulated by the headphones. As we mentioned, Beats tend to be heavier on the bassy side of things. These are fairly equal all across the board. So essentially they are supposed to be, to me, sounding like how the recording actually sounds. Now there's another advantage to these SRH440 headphones. They are, like I said, the closed back. So they help not cancel, but isolate noise. There is a difference. Isolation tends to be there's so much on your ears and so much closed that you don't hear a lot of the outside sounds. However, noise canceling is different. It has a little bit of a microphone in it that picks up the sound and tries to offset it with some weird technical inversions of frequencies and some craziness. But those headphones tend not to be the best for things like editing. So the headphones that I have to say, I've literally on the other side of the wall, if you were to look through my backdrop, there is a wall there. And on the other side of the wall is my front door. That's right. I'm a hobby podcaster. I podcast in my house. The front door, my wife has literally in the middle of a podcast, answered the doorbell, talked to the neighbor, and then closed the door. And I had zero clue that she was there because I had my headphones on. So that is a very, very good testament to how well these work.
They're not going to completely cut out outside noise, but they do mitigate it severely. And that is awesome because that's what you need to really focus on what you're listening at. Whether you're listening to your co-host, whether you're editing later, you really want to focus in on it. And we'll get into my gear later, but I literally have had people vacuuming right next to me, right here in this room, and I have been able to continue editing without missing a beat. It is awesome what these headphones can do. So with the combination with the clear speakers and the noise isolation, you don't need it, right? But it really does help out your podcasting capability.
For sure. The other thing that I have for listening back is just a pair of simple Logitech 2.1 speakers, but I'm actually not even going to reference them on the podcast, the model number, because I don't actually recommend them for editing. I primarily use my cans. Part of that is because I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and so a lot of times my editing is late at night or early in the morning. My speakers are usually there for when I just want to have a quick Skype chat with maybe SP or someone else. Other than that, I primarily do use my headphones.
I use my headphone. Well, I'm a little bit different. I'd have kids that are a little bit older, and I'm able to utilize the sound openly in my room, except for when it's late at night, whatever. I do. There's a couple of set. We'll get to it next week. I have a couple of set of headphones, and I do have speakers that are called monitors because they have a flat frequency response, just like the headphones that we're wearing. But yes, if you are podcasting and you have a noisy environment around you, whether you're in the city, whether you're whether you're working right next to a train station or living right next to a train tracks, which we actually have a couple of co-hosts that do that on the Gina Geek Network, then yeah, having earphones will greatly help assist your ability to get work done.
For sure. For sure. So you're hearing me somehow too, right? So how else do you do that? Well, you have to actually record my voice. That's sort of an important thing, right? So the microphone that I am using is the Audio-Technica BP40 microphone. If you go to GunnaGeek.com, you can actually see I've done a whole review on it. And this is a large diaphragm studio dynamic microphone. So it is still not a condenser microphone, but it is the next tier up in dynamic microphones. Now, this microphone here is a little bit more advanced. It's depending on the price of the year or the time of the year, somewhere usually between $300-$400. In Canada, it can be upwards higher. But it has a couple extra features in it. The big point that I like to do with it is it allows me to actually keep the microphone a little bit further away from my face. And that's an advantage about going to a large diaphragm dynamic microphone. Now, other microphones you might be familiar with large dynamics, sometimes you would have seen these. The Electro Voice RE320. Or the Shure SM7B. Those are some other microphones. This is in that, if you've seen those before, this BP40 is in the same sort of category as that. Maybe the Heil PR40 as well. That's another one that is in the podcasting circles.
Yeah, Rode Procaster is probably the other microphone that I would stick in that level as well. They're very good studio microphones, all of them. We were both very interested in the BP40 when it came out, so I'm very glad that Steven was able to grab it. And he was able to do some reviews, and I'll do a little test on mine right here. So I'm right next to my microphone. It's a little lower quality, whatever. I'm going to pull back a little bit, and I can hear it in my own earphones right now. It's just not as good of a sound. So in order for me to isolate the noise around me and not drive up the gain on the microphone, I have to get a little closer. So 2 to 4 inches away is what I have to do. But Steven can be a little bit farther away with his BP40.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the reasons you may want to consider going to that microphone. With that said, I want to just give a shout out. I'm not going to list them all here. Maybe I should. But behind me here are a series of microphones that I have literally used on various episodes of different podcasts. Sure, I will list them. Why not? There is over here, and if you're not watching on the YouTube side of things, it's going to be very, very boring for you, as I say over here, over and over. But for the YouTube viewers, over here is the Shure SM58 dynamic microphone. This is the Behringer XM1800S microphone. This one here is the Sennheiser E835. Yeah, up here is my beloved Audio-Technica AT2005 USB. Love that microphone. I've talked about it before. I really do love it. This is an interesting one that not a lot of podcast circles are talking about, but I actually had really good results up until I got this Audio-Technica BP40. This was my go-to microphone. I really liked my voice on it. It is the Blue Encore 100. So there's three different tiers of it, the 100, the 200, and the 300. The 300 is a condenser microphone. The 200 is an enhanced dynamic by Phantom Power. I don't really recommend it for a couple of reasons, but this is the Blue Encore 100. And a lot of times the Blue does run various promos for a 2-for-1 sort of deal. So neat little microphone. And then this one over here is my travel mic. This is the Audio-Technica ATR2100 USB. So they are all microphones that I own and have used before.
Yeah, it was at some point in time, we'll have to go through all of them and do a back-to-back test so that the viewer and listener can actually determine the differences between them. Of course, each microphone is different for each voice. So if you really want to test microphones out, go to your local guitar center or music center that actually has a few of these mics, and you can test out how your voice sounds over them. I think that's the biggest thing. But we can definitely make some recommendations and on a higher level and a lower level based on what we've heard, which some of them actually surprised me on where they pitted in the priority. They were not what I thought. And matter of fact, we were so confused by one particular result, we actually obtained a different sample with the same mic just to make sure that it wasn't a bad microphone that we were dealing with.
Yeah. And I have to say the Blue Encore 100 is one that that definitely surprised me in a good way.
Yeah, I have one as well. I don't use it, but it is one of my go-to mics. I just prefer how I sound on the Sennheiser E935. But it was fun doing those comparisons.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, I mean, if you've got the BP40, why not use it? So that's why he's using it, is because he actually has it. And I'm jealous.
Okay, now this is where things get very, very complicated, because as you may remember, I've mentioned before, I have a series of unnecessary gear in my line here. So while you
I wouldn't say that they are unnecessary, right?
Okay.
It's just at a little higher level than your introductory hobby podcaster. And you said it at the beginning of this podcast. All this gear is not necessary if you're just starting out. We would highly recommend going with the ATR-2100 or the AT-2005, which you have just introduced. But as for the rest of it, as you get more advanced, this is still hobby podcasting. We are not in a professional studio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So moving along, you could plug this microphone potentially right into your sound mixer, but no, I have two extra pieces of gear in line before getting to my sound mixer. So the next thing that it goes to is what's called the Behringer Mini Mic 800. Now, what is this microphone? What is this mini mic thing? What it is it is a preamp. Now, it is a basic level of preamp. So essentially what it is it's allowing me to manipulate the gain. And what's nice about this unit is it allows me to manipulate the input gain, so the amount that it's actually driving out of this microphone, and also the output gain. So essentially, once it's captured this microphone, how much is it sending of that signal over? Do I want to bring that signal down? Do I want to send it high? So there's a couple different settings in there. It's been fairly good to me. It's got some extra features. The main reason why I have it is because originally I got it when I was testing and playing around with a condenser mic, and I needed phantom power along the way, and I only wanted the phantom power to my microphone. So that's been good. Then from there, I carry along the chain into a compressor. You're going to find I own a lot of Behringer products. And the next thing is the Behringer MDX 2600. So the compressor, I talked about this on a previous episode. What's nice is it allows you to essentially limit how loud I am, so that I'm not clipping and I'm not doing other crazy things, and getting a more even signal. The compressor is something that I have owned it for, what, SP, like 6 months, maybe longer now?
Yeah, I think it was closer to 9 months, or it was after Christmas, and you were looking around, and there was a great deal that came out.
Yeah.
So it's been almost all of 2015.
You're right, actually. I think it was March. So what is interesting about it is there are so many different options on there. I have to admit, just the other day, I had some settings that I was fairly happy with. There's two channels on this, so two sets of controls. I shifted my wiring to the second channel because I'm still not getting the result that I truly want. And if you look at any how to use a compressor websites, a lot of them say it's just a matter of play, because there are so many other variables. So here I go with my Rode again to playing with the compressor. Now, why do I use that? Because you can get plugins for compressors, right? There are a couple of reasons. Number one, I wanted the noise gate feature because, as I mentioned, I have kids, and I got really, really tired of having a kid yell when I wasn't talking and me not seeing it on the waveform because it's that little, and then my plugins enhancing it. Next thing you know, I have to edit it out later. So with this here, what's nice is I've got the threshold sort of balanced now so that if they are yelling when I'm not talking, the gate stays closed and it mutes my track. So it helped me with the kid factor. The second thing was we do a lot of live podcasting over on Geeks.live on the Gonna Geek Network. And that is something that I want to have a more even signal coming in. I just really like that concept of making my incoming signal as close to what I want the end result to be. There are some advantages to using plugins instead of hardware devices, but because of the live broadcast, I personally really am enjoying getting the hardware aspects of this sort of stuff.
And Stephen, when you're talking about plugins, we need to clarify, we were talking about plugins for the editing software. So there are functions on the Behringer compressor, but they are they are plugins on Audacity or Audition or whatever your editing software is.
Thank you. Thank you. Then moving on, that's where it actually gets a little bit crazy. So there is actually two outputs on that compressor. One is an XLR, one is a quarter inch. The XLR goes into my sound mixer, which is a, once again, Behringer. It is a X1622 USB.
USB.
There's two different versions. The X1622 USB. And so that actually allows me to do my manipulation to all the different crazy Skype-asaurus connections that I mentioned last time that I have with my complicated rig. And then do some other stuff from there. But I won't push on because I'm kind of working my way through the chain. On the other side of the MDX1600, it actually goes into a backup recorder that I have. While it may not be the best quality, the Zoom H1, it has saved my bacon more on one occasion where I did lose my primary track. And because I had this wiring, it allowed me to go in and use my backup track that was still by myself and really, really continue through with my usual editing workflow. So it was really nice having that.
Yeah, and I just want to note for the beginner again that these are XLR connections. The mic, what you're seeing on my microphone right now, if you're watching the YouTube, this is an XLR connection going into my microphone. It's a standard music three-prong connection, and that is what's going out of the microphones that we use into our audio gear. If you're just starting out and you just have a USB, you're going straight from that USB microphone into your computer. Now, the backup recording that Stephen was referring to, if you're just starting out and you have an ATR 2100 or an AT2005, you can use both the USB to go into your computer and the XLR to go into a portable digital recorder like Stephen and I have in order to get that backup copy, which, as we talked about before, is important and it saved both of us in the past. Matter of fact, it is my primary recorder. It is Stephen's backup.
Yeah. Yeah, and if I had a Zoom H6, I would use that as my primary. I should just say that now, but I don't. But I don't. So how else are you capturing me right now? Well, you're seeing me on YouTube, and if you're not seeing me on YouTube, well, congratulations on that, because you don't have to see my ugly mug. So how am I doing that? Well, that is through a Logitech C920 webcam. SP's done a ton of research on this. I did a ton of research on this. And for the price point, you cannot beat this microphone. I did research on
camera.
This camera. Microphone's always on my mind because I have so many of them behind me. But no, you cannot beat this camera, this webcam, for this price point. And yes, there are different cameras that are better if you go up a little bit. But this one here, you're going to find a lot of video podcasters actually use it because it's got a couple of nice little features in it. And I have to admit, I looked at the Microsoft line in this sort of ballpark, and the features and the quality just didn't compare. I looked up several head-to-head videos, so I really like the Logitech camera, the C920. What is also nice about it is the C920 has a tripod mount on it, so I actually have it mounted on a sort of kind of flexible tripod, so that's what's really, really, really nice about that.
They're a standard webcam. They can be placed on top of the monitor. Mine is placed on top of the monitor. Matter of fact, I have several. I have three of them because it goes out to different video feeds at some point in time. But it is, I mean, we both have them. They work great. And unless you're going to spend hundreds of dollars on a digital video or DSLR, what's a DSLR or DLSR? I can't.
DSLR. DSLR. DL-
Okay. So unless you spend a lot of money on one of those, which you can do, by the way, I mean, if that's your hobby, go ahead and do that video stuff. But if you're just trying to get going and blab and YouTube or do a video tutorial or whatever, the C920 is just, it's so versatile and it's cheap. They went on sale on this holiday season for like $40. I mean, yeah, they're usually around $70, and at some point in time they're going to change out and they're going to put a new model in, but for the price you get great 1080, mm-hmm, and whatever. Just don't use the microphone on it. You actually get yourself a real microphone.
Yeah, agreed. So moving along a little bit in the capture process, the actual main recorder that I use, I've mentioned it before, it is the Cakewalk by Roland FA66 six channel audio interface. Wow, that's a lot to say. And it is hooked up to a separate computer. I've had various versions of that computer. It's kind of end of the line in my computer shuffles when I get a new computer. The oldest computer goes out the door and I move down the tree from there. And it is really the oldest computer that I own at any given time, but it works fine because, like I mentioned before, it's running Windows XP because of some driver problems that I know with anything beyond it.
A lot of people with the FireWire connections have to do that. And that's why a bunch of people are actually transitioning into the portable digital recorders, which if you combine podcasting with bands, live bands, these things have gotten so cheap, so capable, and there's a market for them. So they're available now. And I don't know if I would advise anybody specifically in the hobby podcasting area to go with the FireWire connection, but it is great. The podcast that I started guesting on used one, and I was actually able to see how it worked and everything. It's just, it is a little bit complicated for the starter, but it does work, mm-hmm, really, really well.
It honestly, I use it. I like it. I don't recommend it because FireWire is a technology of the past. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Although we might, as we've spoken before, the technology with USB 3.0 might regain that functionality of the FireWire. So you might get that sort of thing eventually as well. But for right now, I think the portable digital recorders are where to go, which means you need a mixer. So it's hardware expense, but
yeah,
you know.
No, I agree. So what else do I capture with? Well, the video that you're seeing right now is coming from one of two places. Assuming that there are no problems, the primary place that I am doing this is through a software called XSplit. XSplit is the software that I use right now to switch between the channels. So if I want to be on both of us, I'm on both of us. If I want to be on SP, I'm on SP. And if I want to be on me, I go to me. So it is the software that we use. I will admit we use it a heck of a lot more when we do end up live casting, because for now title cards, music, all those other things are all added in after. But on the Gunna Geek podcast, I really, really use it to a lot of its ability. But it also does capture. That's the nice thing about it, is with the capture, it actually is saving a proper high definition video file for me to use and edit later. So that's how I get my video file. But as I mentioned before, in the audio side of things, I have a Zoom H1 hooked up as my backup audio recorder. I got to do my due diligence and I have to have a backup in case something goes wrong with XSplit. Because think of it, it is high definition video that is going through the computer. There is a chance that it could blip along the way. And maybe if it blips, I might not be able to recover that file. That could happen. So I don't want to do that. So I do my due diligence and I have what's called a Hipage PVR Rocket.
So what's really important to note about the Hipage PVR Rocket that Steven has, or any in the class of digital video recorder boxes that you have, is a lot of gamers actually use it, video gamers, because they're capturing their feed while they're live streaming with, mm-hmm, Twitch, or they're going to upload their video play to YouTube afterwards or whatever. I've watched a lot of gameplays because I'm trying to figure out how to play Final Fantasy 3 because I never played it before. So yeah, I've actually done and gone in and seen a lot of gamers play and whatever. And this is the sort of thing that they use. But as podcasters get more video action, the same thing can be used with podcasters as well. And if you talk about the professional multi-track gear that you see like in a news van or whatever, that they can do like 8 tracks or whatever, those literally cost about $10,000. The most common model is called a TriCaster. So using something like this, which costs like around $100 to $200, you can get them cheaper on sale, is phenomenal, the capability you get for the cost. And it will save your bacon. I guarantee you, it will save your bacon at some point in time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what else do I have online here? Well, the PVR Rocket is sort of the end of the chain for video. Yeah, we'll call it the end of the chain. I also have in my possession a crazy Skypeosaurus. We talked about that already. Now, what is in that Skype rig? Well, it is actually my main PC. It has a Intel i7-4790 processor. It has, let me count them up, 5 sound cards in them.
Yeah, so just to clarify, Stephen, what we're talking about when you say 5 sound cards is it's a combination of actual cards in the computer and then USB exterior sound cards as well.
Yes, that's true. Very good point. I have 3 internal sound cards and 2 external. The one is the onboard Realtek something or another. Doesn't really matter. It's an onboard. Then I have a Asus Zonar. And then I also have a Sound Blaster Odyssey. Those are the 3 internal. The outside I have, which turned out to work, I decided to randomly try a $10 USB sound card just to see what it is. Build quality looks horrible, but it has worked for my guest Skype connection. And then I also have a Behringer, once again, another Behringer product, UCA 222 USB sound card / audio interface. Now, I will say this, sound cards are a pain for many reasons, and they, when you have more than one in there, it becomes very, very difficult. But I have a tech background. I used to work in the tech sector, so I am a little bit more familiar with manipulating your computer and making sure that you put the right components in that won't interfere, because if you get the wrong components in there, they sometimes run on what's called the same IRQ, which can cause problems. So be cautious if you are going to try going that route.
Yeah, as we'll see next time, I've chosen a slightly different tack to take, and both are legitimate. It's just mine costs a little bit more because there's extra hardware involved, but it's something that you can do if you have several of the items laying around, which I'm betting that you do. So we'll get into that next week.
Yes, yes. So finishing up with the computer there, at least the basics, the other thing that really makes me go is having a half-decent video card, because to do all of this video, you do need to have a reasonable video card. So I actually use a combination of the GTX 660 video card, as well as the onboard video card. But the GTX 660 is the reason that I can do all of this video stuff. And there are far better video cards for sure. Talk to any gamer, they'll tell you a great recommendation for a high quality video card.
Yeah, I have a slightly less great video card in mind, just slightly, not all that lower. And you do need one. You need a good PC. If you're going to do video, you need a good processor. So if your PC is getting a little bit old, and by a little bit, I mean like 3 or 4 years old, you might be on the cusp but not being able to do this as easily. I've had PCs crash before while I'm podcasting. I've had co-host PCs crash before while they're podcasting. So again, that's another reason, if you're going to put on an audio podcast, to have that portable digital recorder. Yes. Especially if you have an older machine, and why we have the Hapage PVR Rocket to capture the video as well. So, I mean, do you need all this to start with? As I said before, no, you don't. As Steven said before, no, you don't. But eventually, if you want to do the sort of stuff that we do, it is doable. It is doable on a budget, and it is doable with stuff that you can actually buy versus going to like a video TV broadcast store.
Yeah, yeah. So really kind of rounding it off here, some miscellaneous items. I've got a bunch of ground loop isolators in there. I've got some DI boxes, which are direct injection boxes. bunch of XLR cables, some 3.5 millimeter, which is your standard headphone cable, to a variety of combinations, some which go to TS, some which go to RCA, a variety of different cables in there because you can imagine how many cables I need for this sort of setup. And then also some other random things. My FA66 input, two of the channels are optical, so I have to actually take those analogs and convert them to optical. There's a $15, $20 eBay item that did that for me. And the final thing that I do want to highlight is the best thing. One of the best things. I love this Heil PL2T stand here. It is something that I got it last year. It is a lifesaver. I used to have a little tripod mic stand that came in from the side. It was horrible. I was tripping over it. Eventually, I got it tucked away, so it was coming down, but it didn't allow flexibility. This thing allows me to pull on it, move it around. I would never do it on a podcast because I don't have the shock mount for the BP40 yet, but it is very flexible, and it's great because after the podcast, I throw it up out of my way, and I can do the rest of my stuff. So I love the Heil PL2T. There is another one that we'll touch on another day that I have some experience with, but we'll tease that. So this is my baby here, and I really, really, really love it.
Yeah, we'll get into my gear next time around. I have also tried numerous different microphone stands, we'll just call them, and we'll get into that in depth in a future episode, but for now, that is Steven's gear. I'm envious of some parts of his gear and other parts of his gear. I actually trump him. And mostly it's just because I purchased it like a year or two later. So as I said before, I believe it was the last podcast, this stuff changes all the time and it gets better, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. So we're not saying there's just one right way to do this. There are multiple right ways to do this. There are some that are easier, some that are cheaper than others. And so if you have any questions at any point in time, please just go ahead and hit us up. Matter of fact, I had a question on how do I start editing? So I was able to put together a little video and give it to a listener. And it was a start, right? And that will spur more comments and questions, whatever. I will tell you, we don't have an excessive amount of time. So if you want in-depth podcast consulting, we can make some recommendations to you. But if you want to ask us a quick question or one that's not going to take too long, go ahead, ask either of us. We'd be glad to help you out. So that is Steven's gear, and it's a lot, right? But Steven's doing a couple of video podcasts that are also audio, so keep that in mind. And he's been podcasting for a while. So when you've been podcasting for a while, you'll want to do just the one thing different, so you need to purchase something different in order to do that. Not all the time, but sometimes. So you start accumulating gear over time. This is not anything that we went to the store on day one and said, give me a $2,000 podcast rig. No, not at least. But I would say the good fundamental startings are the microphone. We touched on that every single episode. And a decent enough PC to actually handle the audio recording that you have. That's probably a good start.
Yes. And there is one last thing that I do want to note here. Although I have all of these products here and they're working for me, I want to clarify something that is going to probably make you go and delete your angry YouTube comment. All of them, every single item that I have listed has quirks. Right from my microphone to my PC, every single one of them, there are things that if I had an unlimited budget, I would absolutely change. Some things I would be quite content to keep, but I would still change things. So they all have different quirks. They work for my setup now. They may not work for you, or maybe if you can afford something a little bit different, there could be a better recommendation. There are things that next week SP will talk about that I have my sights on for the future advancement of my rig. So I just want to tell people that while I do use all of these here, keep in mind that every single device has a bit of quirks, except for my stand. Actually, I might not change that. I love that. I would get a riser for it. That's what I would do. I would get a riser for it. So there you go. So I would change it.
We've gone through, we keep each other in check, right? And even with the stand, Stephen, I can tell you that we have looked into some very exquisite and expensive options.
Okay, I probably would change it then. So
yeah, I mean, if you have an unlimited budget, you'd go with, and I think you know which ones I'm talking about, but I'm not even going to mention them here because for the average hobby podcaster, this is what you get. The Hi-Al PL2T is probably the top tier of hobby podcasting boom arm mics.
For sure. Stands. For sure. All righty. So if you want more clarification on that, please go to betterpodcasting.com and get in touch with us. Ask me questions. Tell me why I should switch my gear. I don't care. You know, open up a dialogue. I'm good with it. It's fun. It's tons of fun. But let's go ahead and move into the Better Podcasting download. This week on the Better Podcasting Download, it is a slight word of wisdom. Should we call it that? Words of wisdom? I don't know. Word of advice? What do you want to call it?
Words.
Okay, it's words.
Starts with a W, ends with a D. There's an or in the middle.
That's true. And funny enough, it has to do with WordPress. So if you're not familiar with WordPress, WordPress is indeed a content management system that a lot of people run their websites on. It is very flexible. I love it. I'm a big WordPress fanboy. And so I use WordPress quite a bit. Now, here's the thing. If you don't use one of the services that we've talked about before, such as Libsyn, Blueberry, a variety of other places that you can host your file and generate your own RSS feed, you may use WordPress to generate your own Word feed or your own RSS feed. And just to recap, the RSS feed is the thing that tells your podcast listening apparatus application to get your files and how to get your files. It is a specific thing that you should you can find a little bit more out if you check out that podcaster's roundtable that SP was on. There you go. How do you like that?
Yeah, the correct term you were searching for, by the way, is either podcatcher or podcast directory.
There you go. So it is a feed, and there's different ways that it's generated. And for me, I actually generate mine through WordPress. Now, that does use another plugin. So here is a word of caution. What happened with WordPress was they put out an update. They went up to version 4.4, which they did a code change, which ended up breaking pretty much every podcasting plugin that is around. What happened was they switched the way that it actually generates the archive category and a bunch of other technical things. And so people who were using podcast plugins all of a sudden ended up in a situation that the titles within iTunes said no title. It really, really kind of broke the feed. So if you were ending up using an updatable software or service such as Blueberry, where they put out a plugin for WordPress called PowerPress, they were quick to respond to it. But maybe you use a secondary, maybe an older plugin, maybe PodPress, and that is not being updated because it's not supported anymore. So if you are using something right now, aside from PowerPress, keep in mind, if you upgrade to WordPress 4.4, you may run into your RSS feed breaking. PowerPress has put out an update that fixes it. So I would suggest you get that updated and then upgrade to WordPress 4.4 after you do that.
I will say that Stephen and I both noticed this. Todd Cochran at Raw Voice Media, who's basically Blueberry and they do PowerPress, he slammed the every single forum that is podcast relating in a matter of minutes when he figured it out. And said, don't update. And here's why. And he just copied and pasted it over to Facebook, to Google Plus, to any of the podcast related community blogs out there. And I have to hand it to Todd. He really took care of the community as soon as he could. Yeah. And they got that update out there as soon as they could. So bravo to Todd and his team. Bravo to Blueberry and Raw Voice Media. Really appreciate you guys out there. Both Blueberry and Libsyn have phenomenal tech teams behind them, and they do some phenomenal things for the community. Of course, they're in business, so they want you to use their plugins or use their hosting systems or whatever, but they have definitely stepped forward for the community, and I just want to thank, in this particular case, Todd Cochran, because he got the word out. I was at work, and all of a sudden, I got all these messages that started getting slammed, so thank you very much, Todd.
I agree. That's actually how I discovered it too. So thank you as well. But we just wanted to bring that on here as well, because maybe you haven't heard of that yet. That is something that we just want to talk about it a little bit here, let you know about it, and just remind you that this is another good reason that you may want to use a plugin for WordPress that is being updated. If you do plan to update your WordPress down the road, maybe it's an archive site that you really don't care and it's just going to sit there and not do anything. Well, then there you go. You're probably fine not to worry about that. But if you are in a current site, you may want to consider, if you're not doing so now, upgrading to a more current plugin.
Or if you happen to have such an archaic site that you're actually hand coding it via HTML, you don't have to worry about it, but you should worry about transferring to a WordPress site, absolutely, right now. And I hear Squarespace is on the way up again, so you might be hearing more about Squarespace. But from what I know and understand, and I'm by no means an expert, if I had to choose between the two and I was a new podcaster and had to put a website together, I would go WordPress without a doubt. There's just more plugins for WordPress.
Yeah. So really, that's going to take us towards the end of episode 7. SP, you got anything that you want to throw in here?
It's just been a fun time so far. We're at episode 7. We told you we were going to be around for a long, long time. So go ahead, ask your questions. We both fielded questions along the way, and we really appreciate you listening and downloading the podcast and giving up a thumbs up on YouTube. And we really appreciate it. So thank you for being with us. And we're here because we're trying to serve the hobby podcaster, because we're hobby podcasters, and although there's a lot of advice out there, everybody's generally in business to make some money with it, which we don't have anything against that, by the way. But if you're a hobby podcaster, like doing a TV show or whatever, you're generally not going to have a lot of money for it. So we just want to make sure you get the best advice you can to go forward without spending an excessive lot of money.
Yes. And on that note, I want to cycle back to something that I feel very, very important, because I've given you my list of gear that I have, and I've given you even my standard disclaimer that I don't recommend all of it all to everybody for every purpose. There is one piece of gear that, because of when I started multi-tracking, I have this device now, and it financially has not made sense for me to put money towards upgrading it. But I just want to emphasize one more thing based on something that happened tonight. It is the Cakewalk FA66. I've talked about audio interfaces and why, if it had been around before when I started with this multi-track, I would have gone with the Zoom H6. I want to emphasize, I've said that a bunch of times, the fact that actually you won't have noticed this because I would have fixed it in editing. Partway through this episode, I actually had to stop because I got a hard drive overrun error on my recording machine. Now, this hasn't happened in a while. I've had some really good success with it. I'm doing everything, as I mentioned before, running a separate machine, but it did happen. So I feel like I would be remiss if I did not mention that, because you're learning how to podcast. We're giving you advice. And if I wasn't sharing that with that experience with you, I feel that I would be hiding something. So just to emphasize my recommendation again, even though I use an audio interface, I highly recommend a separate hardware recorder. Yes, they can have glitches, but in my knowledge and experience, less likely than an audio interface. So I wanted to share that with you. Just us here listening.
Just
to
us
that.
Bros.
So I wanted to share that.
Pod bros, right?
Yeah.
Pod bros.
But that's going to take us to the end of episode 7. I'm Stephen John Drew.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer.
Bye.
See you guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.